Thank you, Mr. Watts. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We have a little unusual situation today, a biblical situation, but it's very unusual. I want to introduce our first speaker. I'd like you, first of all, to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Now, there are some of us in here, and don't take this out of context, that have the gift of tongues, which means we are able to speak in more than one language. And the word tongues in the Bible is the word language. It doesn't mean we blather and we babble on. We speak in other languages that can be interpreted and understood by others who speak that language. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Notice verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue, and wherever you hear the word tongue, just put in there another language. For he who speaks in another language does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries or things that are unknown. Not mysteries in the sense of they're, esoteric. Mysteries just means unknown. So when someone is speaking in German and you're not able to speak German, to him, he's speaking in an unknown language to you, and you are not able to understand it because he's speaking mysteries or in an unknown way. Don't take this out of context. Verse 3, but he who prophesies or preaches speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. So it doesn't matter what language you're speaking. If you're speaking before the congregation, you're speaking about comfort and exhortation and edification or teaching. He who speaks in a language another edifies himself, but he who preaches also edifies the church. So if you know another language, you can speak to yourself in another language, but when you're in front of the congregation, you're actually speaking to the church. I wish you all spoke with different languages. It would be a great gift if all of you in here could speak more than one language. So this is what it's talking about here. It's talking about tongues. Verse 6, but now, brethren, if I come to you speaking in another language, what shall it profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? So the other language needs to be revealed so that you can have preaching and teaching and edification and all those other things. He gives the analogy of a harp. Everything without life, even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction to the sounds, how will they be known what is piped or played? So it's just not rambling. You just don't get on the harp or the trumpet and start just blowing notes. It has to have some kind of meaning. So let's go to verse 27. Let's go to verse 26. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, and he's speaking to the church at Corinth, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, a song, you have a teaching, you have a language, you have something you want to reveal, and an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. Edification means for the benefit of the congregation. So today we're going to have a sermonette. The sermonette is going to be given to us in Spanish. And according to the biblical rules, those of you who cannot speak Spanish, it's going to be a mystery to you. But we're going to do here what the scriptures say, which is we're going to interpret it for you. Notice verse 27. If anyone speaks in another language, let there be two or at most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpretation, then you shouldn't speak in church. So what it's saying is if you're going to speak in another language at church and there's no one to interpret, then you shouldn't even be speaking because it doesn't edify the congregation. So this talks about several subjects. It talks about speaking in an unknown language, speaking in another language. It also talks about the one that's speaking in another language is doing it for edification, for teaching. And it also talks about if one's going to speak in another language, then he should be interpreted. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to have Mr. Ricardo Villanueva come up here in a minute. He's going to give a sermonette in Spanish. And yours truly is going to interpret it for the edification of the congregation. So even though this is something very unusual here, it's not unusual if you go to an international site. I went to Veracruz and I had the opportunity to speak in Spanish. I just came back from Acuña a couple of weeks ago, had the opportunity to speak in English. When I was in Veracruz, I had the opportunity to interpret. So this is all biblical. It's just going to be unusual for us because we've never done it here. But it's not unusual for the church, and it's not something that's not biblical. It's very biblical. So at this time, to give a sermon in Spanish, I'm going to ask Mr. Ricardo de Villanueva to come forward. And I will be interpreting from down here.
Feliz sábado, hermanos.
Happy Sabbath, brother.
Estoy seguro que alguna vez has luchado por tener paciencia.
I'm sure that at times in the past you have struggled to have patience.
La vida parece requerir mucha paciencia, a menudo más de lo que pensamos. Paciencia con familiares, amigos y otras personas, o simplemente en el tráfico, ¿verdad?
Life teaches us that we should have much patience. We should have patience even in our thoughts, patience with our family, friends, and other persons, and we should even have patience when we're in traffic.
El día de hoy quiero hablar de la paciencia.
Today, what I want to speak on is the subject of patience.
¿Qué nos dice el hombre de la paciencia? Paciencia es una virtud que consiste en soportar con resignación infortunios, trabajos, ofensas, etcétera, etcétera, sin lamentarse.
What does man tell us about the subject of patience? Patience is a virtue that consists in doing things without resignation, in unopportune times at work, at offenses that have come to us, etc., without a complaint.
La palabra paciencia es de origen latín, proviene del verbo pati, que significa sufrir. Por lo tanto, la paciencia se ve reflejada cuando una persona soporta en silencio situaciones desagradables.
The word patience is a word from a Latin origin. It comes from the verb pati, P-A-T-I, which signifies suffering. What it indicates is patience is reflected on how a person supports in silence situations that are not very agreeable.
Esta definición resalta puntos importantes, como es la capacidad de personas de tolerar las adversidades con fortaleza y sin quejas.
This definition of patience is very important because it indicates the capacity of persons to tolerate adversity with fortitude and without complaints.
Ahora, ¿qué nos dice la Biblia sobre la paciencia?
And now, what does the Bible tell us about the subject of patience?
En Gálatas 5:22 menciona el cuarto fruto del Espíritu Santo.
In Galatians chapter 5, verse 2, it mentions the mentions that patience is the fourth fruit of the Spirit, equivalent with long suffering. In the modern language, it indicates patience.
Exacto.
22,
Galatians 5:22. Okay. La paciencia es parte de la naturaleza y el carácter de Dios, y algo en el que Él quiere que nosotros también desarrollemos. Es una cualidad que parece escasear en nuestro mundo.
Patience is part of the nature and the character of God. And it's something that he wants us to also be able to enjoy or to be able to inculcate in our life. It's a quality that is not very common in our world today.
Hermanos, ¿cuán paciente ha sido Dios con usted y conmigo?
Brethren, how much patience has God had with you and with me?
Debemos de meditar el nivel de paciencia que Dios tiene hacia nosotros. ¿Cuántas veces hemos acudido a Él pidiéndole arrepentimiento y perdón? Y Él ha concedido nuestras peticiones con ganas, con amor y paciencia.
We should all meditate on the level of patience that God has about our, for us. How many times have we asked God in repentance
for repentance and for pardon for sins we've committed. And he has heard our petitions and done and wholeheartedly listened to them with love and with patience.
Veamos un ejemplo de paciencia en el Evangelio de Lucas, en el capítulo 17, versículos 3 y 4.
We're going to look at an example of patience in the book of Luke, chapter 17, verses 3 and 4. So turn to Luke, chapter 3, or chapter 17, verse 3.
And 4.
Luke 17, verse 3.
And 4.
And 4.
Mirad por vosotros mismos, si tu hermano pecare contra ti, repréndele, y si se arrepintiere, perdónale.
It says here, take heed to yourselves, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him.
Y si siete veces al día pecare contra ti, siete veces al día volviere a ti diciendo, me arrepiento y perdónale.
And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him.
Aquí se hace mención indirectamente a la palabra paciencia, de aquel que soporta las ofensas de su hermano las veces que sea necesario hacerlo.
And here it mentions indirectly the word patience. It supports the idea that as many times as a brother asks for forgiveness, that we will forgive him.
En un momento de dificultades puede ser fácil perder la paciencia, pero sabemos, hermanos, que la paciencia es una virtud importante en nuestra vida cristiana.
And sometimes it can be difficult. It's very easy to lose our patience, but we know that, brothers, that patience is a very important virtue, and it's very important in our Christian life.
Asimismo, cuando enfrentamos pruebas y tribulaciones, podemos crecer en nuestra fe y madurez espiritual al mantener la paciencia, demostramos nuestra confianza en nuestro Creador.
And we also have to remember that when we are encountered tests and tribulations, that we could grow in our faith and mature spiritually and keeping our patience and demonstrating our patience, and that we should use our patience to demonstrate that we have confidence in God.
Ahora vayamos a Santiago 1:3.
We're now going to go to James chapter 1 and in verse 3. James chapter 1, verse 3. James 1, verse 3.
Sabiendo que la prueba de nuestra fe produce paciencia.
But knowing that the proof of our patience, the proof of our works produces patience.
Quizás hayan oído hablar ustedes del hombre que pidió a su pastor que orara para que le diera más paciencia. El pastor comenzó a orar y pidió a Dios que le diera al hombre desafío, pruebas, dificultades que superar.
I'd like to tell you a story about a man who asked his pastor about that he would please pray for him, that he would be able to develop more patience. The pastor began to pray and asked God, and he asked God that he would give the man problems and difficulties that he would be able to have them.
El hombre inmediatamente interrumpió a su pastor y le dijo que él no era lo que había pedido.
And the man quickly interrupted the pastor and said, "That's not what I asked you to pray about."
El pastor respondió que efectivamente eso era lo que él había pedido, porque la Biblia deja claro que las pruebas y tribulaciones son las que fortalecen la paciencia.
And the pastor very quickly responded that that is exactly what he had asked for, because the Bible says very clearly that trials and tribulations are what makes our patience stronger.
Dice, vayamos a Santiago 5, 7 y 8.
Let's go to James chapter 5. And begin to read it in verse 7. James chapter 5, verse 7.
And 8.
And 8.
Por tanto, hermanos, tened paciencia hasta la venida del Señor. Mirad cómo el labrador espera el precioso fruto de la tierra, aguardando con paciencia hasta que reciba la lluvia temprana y tardía.
Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain.
Hermanos, también tened vosotros paciencia y afirmad vuestros corazones, porque la venida del Señor se acerca.
And brethren, it's very important that we have patience and we affirm in our hearts that the return of Jesus Christ is very close.
Y casi ya para finalizar, por favor vayamos a con el apóstol Pablo, bajo inspiración divina, en Romanos 15:5. El Dios de la paciencia y la consolación os dé de vos. Romanos 15:5, perdón.
Let's go to Romans chapter 15, and let's begin to read in verse 5. Romans 15 and verse 5. And it says here,
pero el Dios de la paciencia y de la consolación os dé entre vosotros un mismo sentir según Cristo Jesús.
Now it reads in Romans chapter 15, verse 5, it says the following. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another according to Christ Jesus.
Así que hermanos, debemos de aferrarnos a nuestra fe y mantener una perspectiva de esperanza, sabiendo que la venida del Señor está cerca y que nuestra perseverancia y paciencia serán recompensadas.
Also, brethren, we need to reaffirm our faith, and maintain a perspective of hope, knowing that the return of Jesus Christ is close, and that our perseverance and our patience will be recompensed.
Hermanos, perfeccionemos nuestra relación con Dios y con nuestro prójimo.
Brethren, we need to increase our patience with our brother, with God, and with our brethren, our neighbor.
Desarrollemos la paciencia.
Let's develop more patience.